skies for amber waves of rain.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills over looking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, right now, I guess we'll take your calls because the flashing on the screen in front of me in bright red, so I can't concentrate on anything, is a notation that our regularly scheduled caller, John Stormer, is not going to be able to be here. But John is certainly one of my favorite guests. I've known him for, well, I suppose a decade, but I've known of him for 40 years. In fact, when I first got started in this battle in 1962. I got started in 62, but in 1964, a book came out called None Dare Call It Treason, and it was written by John Stormer. At that time, he was about 42 years younger, 40 years younger than he is today, and it was really the story of how the United States had consistently helped communism since its inception, which really didn't make any sense. And time again, our leaders would snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, and we would finance communism, and we would encourage the Hungarians to rise up against the Nazis and, pardon me, against the communists, and then when they did rise up, we'd leave them there to be slaughtered. Why would you do something like that? And till you understand, of course, that what we were doing was exactly what the communists wanted. They wanted to find out who the people were whose spirit had not yet been crushed. And time again, we would do everything we could to help the communists. And you go into the background of why did Cuba go communist. It didn't go communist because Fidel Castro won the revolution. It went communist because the United States government was financing Fidel Castro and told Batista they had to leave Cuba. We'd done everything we could to undermine him. We'd put an arms embargo on him so he couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the entire world, and we'd undercut him at every turn. And certainly Batista was a strong man, and he was oppressive. And of course, the more that there was a revolutionary ferment, why the more oppressive his regime became. But of course, it was because Fidel Castro was trying to overthrow his government, and we were actually helping Fidel Castro. And I have an interview with Ambassador Earl Smith, who was the American ambassador to Cuba at that time, who was ordered by the United States State Department to tell Batista he would leave Cuba the following day. And I said to Ambassador Smith, as I sat in his living room in Palm Beach, Florida, "But didn't that mean that Fidel Castro was going to take over?" And he said, "Of course it did." And I said, "Didn't you know Fidel Castro was a communist?" And he said, "Of course we knew he was a communist. And the president knew he was a communist. And the State Department knew he was a communist. And we brought Fidel Castro to power." And Ambassador Smith never really understood why we brought Fidel Castro to power. And for many years it puzzled me. But you must understand what we've done. We've always created the best enemies money could buy. Fidel Castro was always there. We could always point to him. He was the enemy. While, of course, being distracted from what was happening here at home. And, of course, we didn't try to win at the Bay of Pigs. Everything was done to keep them from winning. They picked the one spot in all of Cuba where you could be sure if there was a landing, if it would fail. Why did we do it? Why we left those boys there to die? Because, of course, we wanted to keep Fidel Castro in power. Why did we send Elian Gonzalez back to Fidel to strengthen his position? Why do we send people today back who get caught offshore? Why? To give the people in Cuba a feeling of hopelessness. There is no escape from communism. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. This afternoon we were to have had John Stormer as our guest, but I'm afraid John isn't here, so we're going to have open lines, and we will welcome your calls from here all across the mid-coast of California and later on from all across the United States, because we really have nothing at all prepared for this hour, so we've just been talking to our listeners before we joined with KKMC about the fact that the United States has backed communism since its very inception, but we cannot let the American people understand really what's gone on. Those of you who have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, really need to get a copy of it, because we simply go into the background of how it was American financiers who helped to finance the Russian Revolution, as well as, of course, their counterparts in England. And we simply quote from books that were written at the time of the Russian Revolution. And remember, there were two revolutions. One was the March Revolution in 1917. The other was the October Revolution. But there were books written, and we have them, by Ambassador Buchanan, who was the British ambassador to Leningrad, or to Moscow at the time of the Russian Revolution. He spends about 15 pages in his book denying the fact that the English financed the first revolution. Well, there are many books that we have, several books that we have, that suggest that Lord Milner, who was, of course, the leader of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created after Cecil Rhodes died in 1902, that Lord Milner actually financed the first revolution, the March Revolution, and was passing out money to the soldiers. Why did they want a revolution? Why they wanted to destroy Russia. They wanted to destroy Germany. They wanted to destroy the Turkish Empire. They wanted to destroy the Austrian Hungarian Empire. The purpose of the First World War was to destroy the entire social structure of the day, with the idea that it would be replaced by the New World Order. That was the objective of Lord Milner and the secret little group he led at the time called the Round Table. Now, much of this is covered in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and the myriad of books that we've collected about that era. And, of course, the dominant force in English politics by 1917 was none other than Lord Milner. And in 1917, he was actually in Moscow, and he was there immediately preceding the Russian Revolution. Well, then, once the first revolution had taken place, why, of course, it was overthrown then in October by Lenin, who, with a small band of about 4,000 men, seized control of the Russian Empire. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon. Well, we don't have a guest this afternoon, so we're going to, of course, to have to ask you, if you're out in the listening audience, would you like to give us a call? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But one of the most interesting books in my library was written by a man named Bruce Lockhart. It's called British Agent. It was written in the 1920s, and Bruce Lockhart was an idealistic young man, and of course he was a protege of Lord Milner's. And Lord Milner sent Bruce Lockhart to Russia in 1918 to keep Lord Milner and the men he represented. Of course, Bruce Lockhart didn't understand the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created, but he was simply to keep Lord Milner appraised of what was happening in Russia and what Lenin was doing. His counterpart was an American who represented Fred Thompson of the Federal Reserve Board. And Bruce Lockhart tells in his book, and I quote this in my story, A Brotherhood of Darkness, I just quote from the book because I could do it freely, because the book is well out of copyright by now. It was actually printed somewhere in the 1920s. But basically how Lenin would come to Lockhart and to the representative of the American Federal Reserve Board, and before Lenin would make any major decisions, he would always consult with them. And Bruce Lockhart, as you read the book, is saying, why is Lenin consulting with us? And as he pointed out in his book, and I tell the story, how the American actually dominated Lenin and made him actually do exactly what he wanted. In fact, the American, who represented the American Federal Reserve System, said, you know, he wanted a train available at any time. So if Lenin disagreed with him or didn't do what he wanted, he would leave the country immediately. And with that, of course, would mean a withdrawal of American funding for the communists. Now, the Rockefellers were there exploiting, Standard Oil was exploiting the oil wells of Russia immediately after the revolution. Of course, it had been seized by the communists. Remember, they didn't have very much in the way of power. They controlled only a very small part of Russia, but they were ruthless, tyrannical. They began slaughtering people by the hundreds of thousands to maintain a position of terror so everybody would go along with it. And, of course, there was actually the army in the south headed by General Denikin, and there was an army in the east headed by Admiral Kolchak, and they all hated communism. There was an army in Poland. They all hated communism. And so there was a real shortage of food, and people were starving. So America sent aid. And you'll find this in Herbert Hoover's memoirs, if you would like a copy of the page, where he tells about the massive aid that the United States gave to Russia. 97% of it to the communists and 3% to the anti-communists who controlled 90% of the country. Now, why would we give all the aid to the communists and so little to the anti-communists? And the answer is, of course, we wanted to create the best enemy money could buy. Why? Because the communists have always wanted to establish this one world government. They're energized by the same spiritual forces that energize our leaders. Karl Marx was a Satanist. All of the evidence suggests both Lenin and Stalin were Satanists. They were totally evil. Lenin slaughtered probably 5 million people. Stalin probably slaughtered 30 or 40 million people. And yet they're lauded and applauded by our leaders today. In fact, if you were to go back to New York City to the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Harold Pratt House at 68th Street in New York City, and as I have on several occasions, go there and go past the guards into the inner sanctum, into the library, and I've gone there as a researcher. When I was teaching at a major university, I simply introduced myself as a professor, and I wanted to research the library, and they were kind enough to let me in. And there next to the big mahogany desk where the librarian of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is America's secret government, there where he sits. Next to that is a little stand with a light in it. And there under glass is a copy of Foreign Affairs Magazine. Foreign Affairs Magazine is the theoretical journal of the Communist Party. And this is one of the first issues somewhere back in 1921 and 1922, and they keep it there, one of the most treasured possessions of the Council on Foreign Relations, because that is a copy of Foreign Affairs that Vladimir Lenin read and underlined and had notations in the margin. You see, here was this mass murder that they eulogize, that they respect. Why? Because he was dedicated to the world revolution, and that's exactly what the Council on Foreign Relations is all about. And the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, and the Club of Rome, and the Masons, and certainly the Rosicrucians, and the Theosophists, and the Skull and Bone Society, and all of the other organizations that are out there. They're dedicated to the New World Order and the New World Religion. Well, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, because I do not have a prepared program and I don't have any notes to go by. And so we're simply telling you the story of how America financed the communist revolution from its very beginning. Now, one of the most important individuals at the time of the First World War and the time of the Russian Revolution was an evil little man, and his name was Edward Mandel House. I went back to Yale University on several occasions in New Haven and spent literally weeks going through his diary there, which has been effectively suppressed for many years. You can go through it, but it's never been published, because the last thing they really want is for the American people or anybody else to understand the part that Colonel House played in bringing about the communist revolution. And, of course, reshaping America, because it was, of course, during the time that he controlled our government. He was the man who controlled Woodrow Wilson. He was his handler for the establishment, for the occult establishment, because Colonel House was deeply involved with the occult. But, of course, it was during that time that the Federal Reserve system came in. It was during that time that the 16th Amendment was passed. which of course was the progressive income tax. It was that during that time that the 17th Amendment was passed, so we would have direct election of senators and begin doing away with the state's checks on the power of the all-authoritarian central government of the United States. Because the plan has always been to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., remove it from the communities, remove it from the states, and then to transfer that power to the New World Order and the New World Religion. But there in the diary, Colonel House tells the story of how one day he had lunch with Clemenceau, who was the Prime Minister of France at the time. And Clemenceau was very worried about the communist revolution because the communists were talking about coming and trying to spread the revolution throughout Europe and into France. And Clemenceau wanted to spend a small group of contingent of forces there to put down these communists. It would have been very easy to put them down. But Colonel House, and I quote this in my book, but if any of you want to see the pages from his diary, I was able to get them. And we'll give you the pages from the diary, but you read it in my book, that's just as well, because Colonel House said, I was able to convince Clemenceau that it would be impossible to put the communists down, and then I had lunch with Orlando. And Orlando was the Prime Minister of Italy at the time. And he said, I convinced him of the same. Oh, he was so concerned about communism, and he wanted to put down the communists in Russia. And he said, but I convinced him as well, it couldn't be done, but I knew it was a lie. I knew it would be very easy. With a small group of maybe a few battalions of men and maybe a battalion of artillery to put down the communists, but I didn't want Clemenceau and Orlando to know that. Why? Because of course we were creating the best enemy money could buy. Two parallel groups: one the communist, one the anti-communist, and then of course everybody would fight back and forth, without realizing where the real power structure was. Well, right now, of course, we've got Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. How are you
doing? I'm doing just great. Well, other than that fact, I don't have a guest, but now I've got you on the line. So what would you like to talk about? Or would you like to talk about what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. I very much appreciate the opportunity to access your knowledge on these subjects. A comment and a question.
Okay.
I was recently discussing with a friend what it really meant to be literate, and my comment was, being literate means understanding the forces that shape the world around you, and wouldn't it be wonderful if all students in America were taught real history, the history that you're discussing now, and wouldn't it just be wonderful if they just knew real history, because we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in now if they understood what was going on. And God, it's so frustrating sometimes to try to discuss things with people. I would like to get your comment on a book I just recently finished reading. If you are familiar with it, I think you might be. And the name of that book is Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier.
Yeah, I know the book. I know Fritz. I just don't know how authoritative it is. I have the book. It's a good story, but let's put it this way. I'm going to be like the unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted but said off the record that he had no comment. I do not want to verify it, nor do I want to criticize it.
Okay.
How's
okay.
that?
It sure did make for some interesting reading, though.
And there is an Illuminati, but whether that is really totally accurate, I'm not certain.
Okay. Yes, what else was I going to say? The thing I've often wondered about, Dr. Stan, and since you don't have a guest today, maybe you could address this. Because you've had so much experience in the area of understanding the reality behind the news and what's really going on in the world. And the thing I quite often wonder is that when you consider some of the leading globalists, you can pick any of them, Kissinger. Shall I wait till after the break, Dr.?
Yeah, go ahead. We got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I've often wondered how these men, even though they are satanic and serve Lucifer, they're also human beings, and at night they have to lay their head down on their pillow knowing that a huge amount of human misery and blood and killing has been done on their direction. How do they do that, Stan? How can they lay down and sleep at night knowing the damage that they've brought about in this world? And that's something I've often wondered.
All right, we'll try to address that when we get back.
Thank
okay.
you, sir.
We we have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened. And, of course, the title is Cover-Up in Oklahoma City.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bart wanted to know how these people could lay down at night and sleep. Well, of course, those of you who know anything about Henry Kissinger know he is certainly one of the upper echelon manipulators behind the people who rule the world. And he's been involved, he was certainly involved, with the mass murders that took place in Chile after the communist revolution, after they overthrew the communists there, and the same thing in Guatemala. And, of course, there have been many people who have suggested that he should be tried for crimes, but I can assure you that Henry Kissinger will never be tried for crimes. We have an article out of West Magazine. It's about Marie Strong, whose wife is a witch and who has a setter in in Colorado, where, of course, people from the dark side come, the shamans and the witch doctors and the, you know, the Buddhists and all of the people from the alternative religions meet there. And there's sort of an occult center for the whole world. And it commented that two people would very often come. One was Henry Kissinger, and the other was that great man who sent our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but never to be allowed to win the war. His name is Robert McNamara, who incidentally is on the board of directors of the Future magazine, along with Marie Strong and Barbara Marx Hubbard. And up until recently, their logo was a circle made up of three sixes. So I think that tells you a little bit about what they're really about. We started talking about it, and lo and behold, they changed the logo. If you want to see a copy of it, of course, it's in Kathy Burns' book, Masonic and Occult Symbols. But if you'd like to get a copy, I'm sure we have copies around here. But Kathy Burns' book is very important. But how do these people sleep? Well, I can't say anything other than what Whittaker Chambers said in his wonderful book, Witness. If you haven't read it, I recommend it to you. But Whittaker Chambers was a dedicated communist. He hated America. He hated everything about it. And he said, but you know, at times when you went to sleep at night and you knew that they had tortured millions of people to death in Russia, and you were trying to sleep, you'd hear the screams. You'd hear the screams, but you'd repress it because you knew that we were working towards a better world. We were going to change the world. And, of course, eventually, of course, Whittaker Chambers realized he was wrong, and he realized there was a God, and he, of course, turned against the communists. He exposed Alger Hiss, and he was afraid our government was going to arrest him for exposing the communist infiltration at the highest levels of our government. But Whittaker Chambers never understood that we allowed that communist to be in there. The force was never communism that was directing our foreign policy. It was this elite group of the Council on Foreign Relations that was using communism as a foil, so we could have the right against the left, the conservative against the liberals, the Republicans against the Democrats. But nothing would really change. So I think that they know, and of course all we can do is pray for their souls and hope that sometime, perhaps something will happen. And they'll realize, of course, the fallacy of what they've done. And we're going to have a great interview next week with a man who is part and parcel of this. He's written a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You'll want to hear that program. He was part and parcel. He wasn't at the upper echelons, but he was one of the people who was involved in enslaving the entire world and bringing it under control of the corporatocracy, and that's what he called it. Well, let's go to Ken calling from Seal Beach, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I have a book in front of me called A Life of Albert Pike, a huge book, 465 pages, small print, the equivalent to 800 pages, by a man named Walter Lee Brown. Now, in this book, he does not talk anything about Albert Pike's Luciferianism. However, what is amazing is that he has a picture here. He claims he doesn't know anything about this, because I talked to Walter Lee Brown. I had a long conversation with him. But listen to this. In this picture, it's our wonderful Pike in the middle of the Civil War. He was in his 50s or 40s, and he's wearing all those satanic symbols on his lapel. Clear as day, you can see him with your naked eye. Listen to this. I'll just say some of the symbols so you know. Here he has 666. Now, of course, they're not right across from each other. They're going down, but it's 666. He has a symbol of an anchor. I'm not sure what an anchor means, but below the anchor is the snake, Lucifer the snake, you know, the snake, the S going backwards. He has a C, which stands for See You in Eternity. Anyway, I've done my research on this thing. And then he has two bats. The symbol of the bat, of course, is a blood oath as well as death. Here he is. He's wearing these symbols on his lapel, hidden in plain view, just like you were saying, and even the man who wrote the book doesn't know what the symbols mean. It's amazing. It boggles the mind.
Well, of course, for our listeners who don't know who Albert Pike was, he was a Civil War general who actually, he was with the South, and he actually got the Indians to scalp, Americans. And, of course, he fell into disrepute because of that. He was one of the organizers of the KKK.
Right.
But, of course, he was best known for being the father of modern-day Scottish Rite Masonry. And he wrote the book Morals and Dogma, which was given to every Mason, Scottish Rite Mason, in the United States prior to about 1974. And we'll discuss a lot more of this when we get back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Hang on there, Ken.
All right.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that if you're out there in the listening audience and you perhaps have a business or something you'd like to advertise here on Radio Liberty, why, we have very attractive rates. And so if you'd like to, of course, have your advertisement played on a daily basis for a period of time in this time slot, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, it helps to finance this program, which is simply one of many, many programs we're on. Now, if you have an advertisement that needs to go out across the country, why, we do have an evening program, a two-hour evening program that's heard on 10 to 15 stations. And so if you'd like to consider that as an advertisement, give us a call. But our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, and I will tell you quite frankly that the rates are very attractive. Now, we're not going to put people on, but we have to determine that we think they'll be take good care of our listeners, but you know how to reach us if you'd like to. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and of course, Ken was calling in about Albert Pike. He's certainly one of the more interesting people. As an organizer of the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, you wonder why his statue is there in Washington, D.C., and you'll find him there in Washington, D.C., his statue. Why doesn't anybody ever talk about this racist statue in Washington, D.C.? Where's the NAACP, and the Jesse Jackson when you need them? But, of course, Albert Pike is a Mason, a father of Masonry, and so is Jesse Jackson, so you wouldn't expect Jesse to speak out against him. Albert Pike's bones are interred at the Great Temple there in Washington, D.C. Our whole nation's capital is laid out in occult symbology, and others that we carry a book called The Occult Architecture of the Nation's Capital. It's published by Harper and Collins Company. It's not a right-wing extremist book. This is history. 12 of our last, 6 of our last 12 presidents have either been Masons, part of this secret movement, or closely aligned with the Masonic movement. And until you understand that there are 3 million Masons in this country who've sworn an oath to the great architect of the universe, many of them are ministers in various conservative Baptist churches across America, and of course they're there for one purpose, not to preach the gospel. Oh, they talk about Jesus Christ, but the real purpose, of course, is to distract people from understanding what's going on. And any minister in the United States who gets up in church and condemns Masonry, well, he might as well start looking for another pulpit. That's what we're up against today. And the fact that the average American doesn't know that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Ken, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's about it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Larry in Florida. Hi, Larry.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you? What part of Florida are you in?
St. Augustine.
Okay, good. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question for you. When was the last time you were in a Masonic lodge?
I haven't been in one.
I see. Well, we don't worship Satan. We don't have anything to do with Satan. I'm 33rd degree. I brought Dave Thomas of Wendy's into the lodge myself. He's the type of person that's in our lodge. We don't control anything in this government.
You don't, huh? Well,
no.
Have you read Albert Pike's work?
Sir?
Have you read Albert Pike?
Excuse me, we have 97 different divisions of the lodge. Albert Pike was an outcast. He was not in the main lodge. Jesse Jackson is not in the main lodge.
He's not allowed
in the lodge.
That's right. That's because he's a black man, and you have a special lodge for blacks,
sir,
don't you?
What we have is 97 different divisions.
I see. Well,
we have different divisions for different organizations, including Knights Templar, Knights Hospitallers, and other organizations.
What is the Knights Templar?
It's an organization that takes care of matters in Jerusalem, generally.
That's right. And doesn't it date back to the old Knights Templar?
Sir, the Knights Templar has never been disbanded.
You're absolutely right. In fact, the modern-day masonry is a continuation of that ancient secret society, isn't it?
We were around before we created Knights Templar.
The lodge has
been around for nearly 6,000 years.
You're absolutely right. In fact, who is the great architect of the universe?
God is.
God, what God? That's not the God of the Bible, because you don't...
Jehovah Jireh, sir.
No, you, because...
Yes, sir,
What is the secret name of God? What is the secret name of God?
We have no secret name.
Yes, you do.
Of
course you know you have the secret name of God. Well, tell us what the secret name of God is.
Sir, you're in this as a capitalistic venture. You're not trying to bring out the truth. You're trying to make money, and you're lying.
I see.
If you'd like a nice lawsuit, I can bring one.
Well,
I would have no issue whatsoever bringing a lawsuit.
Well, you're perfect.
Like yourself.
I see. Are you threatening me?
Certainly.
I see. Well, that's what I figured. Well, that's what the Masons always do. They threaten, they intimidate. But you know,
What we do is we build children's hospitals and we go out and do works quietly in the neighborhoods. We take care of old people. We take care of homeless people. We take care of business.
We don't
go worship Satan. We don't go out and do devilish things. You, sir, are a damn liar.
I see. Well, have you read Manly P. Hall? I mean, certainly when Manly P. Hall died, the Scottish Rite magazine referred to him as often referred to as Masonry's greatest philosopher. Do you know the writings of Manly P. Hall?
Certainly don't. I've had no affiliation with Manly P. Hall.
Well, let me suggest that what Manly P. Hall says in his book, The Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, and I would be glad to send you the pages out of that or even send you a free copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, so you could read what Albert Pike really wrote. And let me finish, please. Manly P. Hall said that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an out of fraternity of people who tried to do good things, really tried to, charitable and have a good time. But there is an inner fraternity within Masonry of men who study the Ancorum and the Ancanorum. Now, those are the words of a man who is often referred to by the Scottish Rite magazine as Masonry's greatest philosopher. And you've never heard of Manly P. Hall?
Sir, I'm the eighth highest ranking Mason in the United States of America. There is no secret inner circle. That is nothing but a fabrication and a lie.
I see, fine. And you don't believe that they passed the morals and dogma out to every Mason up until 1974, or that you... What is the current book that they pass out? Would you know that, by Rex Hutchins? What's the name of that book that they pass out?
We don't pass out any book by Rex Hutchins. Sir, there are more lodges than just one Masonic lodge. There are 97 different separate Masonic lodges that do not communicate amongst themselves in most cases.
Well, I would suggest for our listeners to go up on the Internet and type in Masonry and begin looking at the various Masonic lodges. You'll find that most of them are actually pushing Albert Pike's writings. Maybe you've never actually read Albert Pike. You say you are the eighth highest ranking Mason in America today?
Sir, I have nothing to do with Albert Pike. Albert Pike has something to do with an organization that was created that is an outlaw Masonic organization that has never been a chartered Masonic organization.
I see. Why are
Albert Pike is not a Mason and has not ever been a proper Mason.
Well, then why were his bones interred at the Great Temple in Washington, D.C.?
Sir, they were not.
They're not?
No, sir, they certainly are not.
I see. Well, I would beg to differ with you. I would just simply ask our listeners, you could actually probably call the Great Lodge in Washington, D.C. Do you have the telephone number of that incident?
Sir, when were you last there?
I was there probably 5 or 10 years ago, and of course they showed us where his bones were interred.
I don't believe that.
Well,
I don't believe that for a minute. Somebody's playing with you.
You mean they were lying to me when I went to the temple?
I think you're lying to everybody on the radio.
All right, fine.
Well, you're nothing but somebody trying to tear down a decent organization. You're making money doing it. That's why you're doing it.
How much money do you think I make for doing what I do?
I have no idea how much you make, but you're profiting off these books and tapes and everything else.
Well, of course, that's
just like the rest of these kooks that get on shortwave radio and act like fools. We created this country so people can come here and live in freedom. Live under bondage.
I'm sorry, you Masons created the country.
We certainly did.
I see. So, really, this is a Masonic country, is what you're saying.
No, sir, what I'm saying is we came here so that we could create and establish a religious, decent community from Eastern Europe and Western Europe to come to and emigrate to so that they could escape all the aggravation that they'd been through with their religions and with all the evil governments over there.
I see. Fine. Now, when did the Mason or the secret societies come to United States? Do you recall offhand?
We were here. We've been here since the first boat landed.
All right. So you were really here coming over very shortly after the Pilgrims, weren't you?
We were with part of the Pilgrims.
All right. Fine. And of course, this was a group that was sent over by Francis Bacon. Do you know who Francis Bacon was?
I know all about these little things.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners what this group was? Because the Masons weren't organized until 1717. So what you're saying is...
The Masons have existed for 6,000 years.
Well, of course...
That's what I mean. You know nothing whatsoever about the Masons. All you do is sit up there and run your mouth about what somebody else has printed, which is nothing but a lie.
Well, of course...
1717... The Masons were in existence before the time of Christ.
You're absolutely right. The Masons are part of the ancient mystery religions that go all the way back to Babylon and ancient Egypt.
We are not a religion.
You're not?
We are not. We are a fraternal organization.
Well, then, we are
a Christian organization.
You're a Christian organization. Well, why is it then in almost every lodge you're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ?
We certainly do pray in the name of Jesus Christ. The chaplain will open with prayer to Jesus Christ
in every lodge.
Prior to every meeting,
unless
it is an outlaw lodge that has nothing to do with the main lodge.
Well, they do whatever they want to do. Well, if that is really true, then how come you can have Muslim lodges in Muslim countries? Do they pray to Jesus Christ too? And you
can
have Muslims?
They do not, but in this country we do, because the lodges in the United States of America are Christian.
I see. Well, I wonder if we have any other Masons out there, because every Mason I've ever talked to has told me that they were chastised when they mentioned Jesus Christ or asked not to do that because they might offend somebody.
Gee, I wonder why the Bible is open in every lodge, why there's a Bible in the center.
You're absolutely right. In fact, that's how they get the good people into the into this. And would you like to tell us about the initial... what you do when you come in and you are first initiated into the lodge and the secret ceremonies that are carried out and what you actually swear to and what you ask for and you're asked by the worshipful master what you want and you say the light. Do you know what the light really is?
Sir, we don't say that in my lodge.
Oh, you don't?
We agree to uphold Jesus Christ and the Bible. You are talking about outlaw lodges. You are not talking about regulated, normal lodges. You are talking about lodges that are not chartered.
I see.
That someone has started and turned into something that it was never intended to be.
Well, I would like to suggest to our listeners that Larry is calling from Florida. He claims he's the eighth highest ranking Mason in America, and he may very well be exactly what he says. Why don't you go up on the Internet and type in Google and go to the various Masonic lodges, because many of them have their websites up there. They have state Masonic lodges. See how many of them refer to morals and dogma. Larry says that... that none of them have anything to do with morals and with Albert Pike. Would that be a fair statement, Larry? That no legitimate Masonic organization would have anything to do with this terrible Albert Pike, whose bones are buried in the Great Temple in Washington, D.C.?
Well, number one, he's not buried there. He was never interred there.
He was never interred.
That's a fallacy, and you do not know. You have yet to hear what I've been saying. We have many, many different divisions of the Masonic Lodge. Anyone
right.
that is chartered in the United States of America is a Christian, Jesus Christ-worshipping group of people. It
All
is
right.
not a demonic organization destined to go out and take over the entire world. You have lost your mind. Good night.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk to Molt, who is calling us from Denmark. Hi, Molt. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question or comment?
I don't know. It's the same garbage you're getting every time talking to a lower level mind. And he's not really in a lower level. He says he's a 33 degree Mason.
He says he's the eighth leading Mason in the world,
yeah.
At least in this country.
Maybe, 33 degree. That just was, I think, was the president after the war president. Henry Truman was also...
Harry Truman was a 33rd degree, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was 32nd, mm-hmm. and they were the ones, of course, who packed the Supreme Court with Masons, so that between 1941 and 1971, the Masons controlled the Supreme Court of the United States. And that's, of course, when they took God and prayer out of our schools, because, of course, the Masons have always wanted to destroy Christianity. Do you study a Masonry over there in
no,
Denmark?
No, I just have a conversation last night. I do some with the Mason. He's probably the only Mason I really know for sure as a Mason, because I know my father's French, but I don't dare to talk to them about it.
Well, most Masons are very nice people, and many of them really
sure,
do want to do
it. I don't know. I think some of these people, I think maybe they are too high in the system. Maybe they have been not very really nice.
But they work. They work as a secret society, and they help one another.
I mean, they're really high.
Right.
If they're really in the system, I don't know. They're really high on that, and maybe I don't want to debauch my security. I mean, I don't know, Masons, there's some books over here about it. It was written 15 years ago, Tim, and the Mason was trying to get it banned or something like that.
Well, of course, they want to silence anybody who really tries to tell the truth. Mm. I think many Masons are good people. They really do not understand what this is really all about. But Larry was absolutely right. They have been around. Modern-day Masonry is the manifestation of the ancient mystery religions of the secret societies. Mm. They've been here for 6,000 years. But, of course, they weren't called Masons before. They were called by all sorts of names, but they were really called the mystery religions.
I don't believe these welfare things. I think that's a new chapter of the Masonry. In the old days, I really think it was pure evil. I mean... And back in Atlantis, I understand, David Icke was reading about 50,000 years ago. They were on there, too.
Well, the Masons believe in Atlantis, at least some of them do. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they believe that this was a sort of utopian society. And, of course, Plato was intimately involved with the mystery religions. Plato was the one who wrote about Lost Atlantis.
Yeah.
And many of the people today really want to reconstitute Lost Atlantis. In fact, it was Francis Bacon who sent the Rosicrucians, a group of Rosicrucians over here to the United States with the original pilgrims. And Larry was absolutely right about
that.
It's
funny you say that, because the German priest and founder of the Lutheran Church was a Rosarian.
A Rosicrucian?
Yeah, Rosicrucian. Rosarian, I think, was.
Well, a Rosicrucian, there is actually a level, one of the levels of Masonry is Rosicrucianism.
I don't understand. The Labour Party in England is controlled by the Rosarian, too.
The Rosicrucians?
The Rosicrucian.
I really can't comment on that, but all of these organizations, the Labour Party is controlled by the Socialists, and their strong occult extensions into that. Hey, we're going to have to run because we've got a caller from Tennessee and we're almost out of time.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling, Holt. God bless you. Let's go to John in Tennessee. Hi, John.
Hello. I've got a copy of Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma that I purchased last month from the Scottish Rite Supreme Council in Washington, D.C.
Well, that he's an outlaw, and the Scottish Rite would have nothing to do with him.
Well, they've got a whole museum in the main temple there dedicated to him.
Well, you mean Larry wasn't telling the truth?
They're not allowed to tell the truth, or they had their throat cut ear to ear and their heart torn out and all other kind of tortures and deaths done to them, like Captain Morgan.
Well, of course, that was what I wanted Larry to tell us was the oath that they'd taken. And the first oath, they're going to have the tongue cut out and the throat slit cut ear to ear. You know, if they ever reveal any of the secrets, so he wasn't going to reveal the secrets, of course. He wouldn't want to have that done. Hey, we're out of time, John. I wish we had more time. Call in again sometime real soon.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment. And, of course, to wrap up today's program.
Really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we just want to mention just a couple of the books we have on Masonry, basically going into the background of what we're talking about today. And of course, I think probably the best book, the easy book for you to read, would be my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, because we actually tell you what the oaths are that they take. We quote extensively from Albert Pike's book, The Morals and Dogma, and from Manly P. Hall, who I'd mentioned earlier had been referred to at the time he died as often referred to as Masonry's greatest philosopher. And Manly P. Hall, of course, really tells you that, of course, when the Mason on the block has learned the purpose of his craft, at that point he will have the seething energy of Lucifer in his hands. Now, I will tell you that many Masons read all of these things and they never figure out what it's all about. I've talked to 32nd degree Masons who are dedicated people, who really, were dedicated to Masonry, and they were dedicated Christians, and they never understood the two were incompatible until they began reading the Bible. But every Mason, and if you go to a Masonic funeral, they will tell you that the Masons are going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. And, of course, you can ask a Mason, he'll tell you, yeah, we're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment to be judged for what we've done. Well, if you read the Bible, you'll find the great white throne of judgment is the judgment of the damned. Read Revelation. Look up the great white throne of judgment. You and I as Christians are not going to be there. No Christian goes to the great white throne of judgment. And I hope and pray Larry doesn't. And I hope Larry begins to understand that there is a spiritual battle going on today. And of course the Masonry is on the other side. And I hope that he'll give his life to Jesus Christ and of course join us in heaven, and when that final trumpet sounds, because there really is a spiritual battle, and everyone, even the audience, is going to determine which side you're going to be on. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, I always enjoy open lines, because of course there's so much information out there, and you never know what people are going to ask, but there really are satanic forces in the world today. And let me simply suggest that we have a number of videos on that. We're carrying Chris Pinto's Megiddo 1, which is the Road to Armageddon. It's the story, certainly a prophecy. It's used in many Bible studies in churches across America. It goes into the background of the prophecies, and then, of course, it goes into some of the false prophets like Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus, and then the true prophecies of where we're headed into World War One and World War Two. And later, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are in World War III. It's all planned. You ever wonder what we're really doing over why we're fighting to bring democracy in Iraq today? I mean, when did we ever elect a president to bring democracy to the Middle East? Well, of course, it has nothing to bring democracy. It's to provoke World War III and the draft and the destruction of America. But you have to understand this is all prophesied. You need to get Megiddo 1, the March to Armageddon, and then Megiddo 2, which is the next video. We'll take you into the story from creation right up to the present time, and you'll actually see mediums who are possessed at, you know, talking about this coming world government. It's a great video, very professionally done. I even appear in it. I have a little part there where I talk about the Georgia Guidestones, which is an occult center in Elberton, Georgia, and Madam Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who was a Mason. She was a co-Mason. In England, they had lodges for women, and she was also a Satanist. And we simply quote from her writings, and you'll see them there. I don't think most Masons are Satanists. I don't think they have any idea what it's all about. But there is a group within Masonry that does. And, of course, they are violently anti-Christian. So then, of course, you'll want, of course, to get the Megiddo 2, and then you'll want to get the videos we're carrying. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version. They're excellent videos, very professionally done. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And then, of course, if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It will give you the overview of what's happening, or you can get my book, the video, and the audio tape at a specially reduced price. And, of course, Larry says I'm doing what I'm doing to make money. The money we make goes into buying radio time and shortwave time and internet time and telephone time. And, of course, I am not paid for what I do. I'm just trying to get the word out. But I'm sure that you notice how they always attack me. If you don't like the message, you attack the messenger, and that's the standard technique. So we hope many of you out there will want to get the various products that we offer. My wife works full-time without compensation as well. And, of course, we're trying to reach people across America with the fact that we're involved in the spiritual battle for the soul of America, and we're losing America. There was, since the very inception of this country, there have been two forces here. One is the occult, the Masonic and the ancient mystery religions, and the other, of course, is the Christian. For a long time, the Christian was predominant. Today, the Christian influence has waned. Oh, there are people in Washington, D.C. who talk about Christianity, but it reminds me of that saying, you know, most people believe all religions are true. Most philosophers believe that all religions are false, but of course the politicians believe all religions are useful. And I believe they're using Christianity today to support the war, to support the move towards a fascist society. And our Christian leaders who picked our current administration have a vested interest in being wrong. Because, of course, if you look and see what's happened, how many abortions have we stopped since we had the Republicans in control? How many, you know, are we moving more towards traditional families? Are we moving more towards a depraved society? And I would like to say that the moral foundation of America is gone. Pornography rages in this country, and I don't think God's very pleased. Please pray for America. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.